Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night. Welcome back to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you in the shadows that goes bump and... Wow, I haven't done this in so long, I forgot my introduction.
Yeah.
Oh, hey there, everyone, children of the night. It's Bob After Dark, a show that takes you in the shadows and goes and says everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, the now-bearded...
Yes.
The now Zin doing.
No, come on. I stopped that for a while. Lent is here.
And of the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, my brother, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Yes. And again, we're in the old studio. We were always in the new studio. We haven't done a show since around Halloween. I think the Halloween show is our last show.
Yeah, I feel like we need to do a last time on Bob After Dark moment. Like, it was a season finale.
It was, yeah, after 7 years, it was the season finale. After 7 years of shows.
After 1,000 episodes, according to you.
After 1,000 episodes, we got to season two. They renewed us for a second season after 7 years.
Listen, it is very common in Japan for one season of show to last 100-something-odd episodes at a time.
So, yeah, so I'm kind of getting used to this right here because... we're always in the new studio. Now we're back in the new old studio. I never broadcast here from here. I know next week we might be out in a different studio down the hall here in the lobby, is what I'm being told. But for probably the first and last time ever, I'm sitting in the seat where, you know, a lot of people broadcasted from, Bob. So it's kind of cool to be back in the studio. A lot of lingering spirits, some would say, in the studio as well. We did an investigation here, which your fine guest will you bring up here very soon. And there was plenty of activity. So if anything happens tonight, if you see things in the background, that just means that there's some active spirits around here.
Do you remember when we did the show from here years ago and we caught the shadow figure on camera? It was me, you, and Steve. And
yeah.
We were in the what is now the Heartland Sports Network office. And we caught that shadow figure walking down the hallway.
Yes.
I didn't see it. Steve did, because my back was to it. And I look at Steve, and I'm like, oh, it looks like you saw a ghost. And he's like, we'll talk after the show.
And of course, you know, we did an investigation here a few years back with Northwest Indiana Paranormal, Pete Grice and Casey, who will be introduced here very soon, and the gang. And, a lot of activity. But, you know, this studio, a little bit of history on WJOB, it's been around for 100 and about 102 years now. It started in downtown Hammond, moved here to Olcott Avenue behind the Chevy dealership since like the 1950s. Then 2014 or so, moved to the Boulevard. And now we're back here, Bob. So they've been back here for a couple months, rearranging things and trying to figure it out. And I think I got things running. Again, the phone lines are still the same, 219-845-1100. A different phone mechanism, though, so I'm curious to see how that works. I know John's tuning in, and he'll probably call in, and I'm curious to see how the phone lines work with this new system. But I want to thank Adriana, first and foremost, from WJLB, for getting us on the air today, Bob. So
yes,
here we
thank
are.
You, Adriana. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
So it has been a very long time since the last time I seen you, Count Panic, and usually we get the weekend update. But now we need, like, the season break update. So what's going on? You have a beard now.
It comes and goes, Bob. I mean...
Well, no, you have a... This is the thickest beard I've ever seen you
have. Yeah, it's a winter beard. I shave it and it grows back pretty quick. And I'm looking at myself in the camera right now. And this is a very close, tight shot here on this camera. But I shave it sometimes. It grows back real quick. Bob, you've always had a little beard
going. I keep the beard going all year round. That's typical for me.
It's typical for you.
Not typical for you, though. You're the baby face producer.
Yeah, well, I'll get back to that. I'm an aging vet at this point.
Would you stop it?
There we go.
So if this is your first time watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we are your, gosh, I would like to say weekly-ish, but I haven't had a month show in months. It's we are your show where we talk about legends, yeah, supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course Count Panic's favorite series finale of a TV show of all
series
time.
Finale of a TV show. Wow, gosh, good question, Bob. Cheers, right? Cheers is up there. Seinfeld wasn't that great. Great show, but maybe the finale wasn't that great. MASH, right? People love the MASH finale. So I say our last season. I can't choose.
Well,
one.
We didn't have a series finale because Bob After Dark didn't die. We just
a season.
We
finale,
had a
though.
Season finale.
Yeah, we had a season finale.
So, what's your favorite series finale?
Let's go with Cheers, Bob.
You know, mine would have been Scrubs until they announced the reboot.
Well, I mean, technically, right? I mean, that's still technically their series finale. So,
oh no, it's coming back.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Cheers is a great series finale. Yeah. I was a big fan of that, so that might be my answer.
It's a good one.
Yes. All right. So, Count, we have a special guest joining us today to kick off the season 2 premiere, and I believe we have a caller, don't we?
Wait. Oh, yes. Hold on. Good call, Bob. I'm going to hit talk and see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens here. Okay, the phones are up. Caller, can you hear us?
Yeah. Hey, this is John.
Hi, hey. John!
It works.
Thank you. You're the first caller on season 2. I don't think John could hear us.
John, can you hear us? Uh-oh. Hello. It's up. It's up and running. I heard him for a second there.
John, you could call back.
Call back. I'm curious to see how that's going to work out for us. Let me drop the call. Let me drop all the calls.
How many? Were there more than one?
No, I don't know. So let's see if that works out again.
Truly, you're the finest of phone answer. I miss having our physical phone. That you
yeah, I know. I miss that, too. Let me try calling back. You can call back on this thing, too.
Are you going to call John?
Yeah, let's try it. Again, we're live testing on here. This is kind of like the initial launch of it, and we're going to see what happens here. All right, he's not answering, so I'm going to drop that. Let's try this one. Let's talk to this one. Let's see if this caller is on the air. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Hello, caller. Uh-oh. That might not be working that properly. Let's see. I'll drop that, too. So, Bob, just continuing out the show, and I'll
all
figure
right.
this out.
All right. So, we have ourselves a very special guest this evening, Count Panic, and you always introduce the guest, so I'm going to have you introduce the guest before you continue.
Well, hold on here. I want to make sure this is right, Pete, because...
Anyway, I'll move on over here, then, and I'll introduce the guest, or okay. I'll actually have them introduce themselves.
Okay.
So, something new we're going to be doing here on Bob After Dark is we're going to try to have more guests virtually and in person.
Well, that's the plan. I don't know if I did that right. Caller, you on the air? Hello, caller. It's up on the board, so let's see.
We heard John before.
We heard him. We heard him for a little bit there.
What did you do, Count?
I don't know. We'll
okay,
figure it out.
Anyway, hello, who are you?
Hi, my name is Casey Verity. I'm the assistant director of Northwest Indiana Paranormal. I am also the co-sponsor of the Griffith High School Paranormal Club.
Well, that's amazing. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, I'm very busy. So I'm a I'm a job coach at Griffith High School for the 18 to 22 year old kids that have graduated but haven't aged out yet. So we go out, we work all over the community. You know, I'm in Tri Kappa. I am a vest officer for Griffith. I'm kind of all over the place all the time.
That's great. So you've been in paranormal investigating for how long?
Actually investigating since about 2012.
And how long have you been with Northwest Indiana Paranormal?
Since the beginning.
Oh, and what is that?
Since 2018. Okay. So Pete had called me, Pete Grice, the director of our group, and he was like, hey, do you want to get an adult group started? You know, we have the kids group. And I was like, that sounds like a lot of fun. So, yeah, it was a lot of the parents from the high school paranormal group. They wanted to start kind of going out there by them, you know, doing other investigations a little bit further out, longer investigations. So, yeah, we've traveled all over the place. So, yeah, we've gone to Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois. So we got to do Waverly this summer. That was great. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what is Northwest Indiana Paranormal?
So it has grown. We have over, 3,000 followers. We've done about 132 investigations since 2018. You know, we are completely not-for-profit. So whatever I pay, you pay, everyone else pays. We're really big in giving back. We like the vets and the animals, but we also, anytime somebody needs help, whether it's a cleanup project, whether it is, you know, just, hey, you need help dusting upstairs at your old haunted mansion, you know, we're there to help.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
What is, tell me a little bit about what you guys do for the community.
For the community? So we do a lot, you know, for like the veterans. We go out, we do flags every year. We actually just with the high school group, Pete wrote a grant. So we're going to be starting metal detecting and we're also going to be starting headstone restoration.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So
what's the first cemetery you're going to be hitting up when you guys are able to restorate?
Most likely Oak Hill in Hammond.
Hammond, yeah. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing noises, Colin.
Yeah, that's good. You should be hearing noises.
Is everything okay?
We're doing good, Bob. Just continue on.
Okay, just making sure that we're on air still.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, howdy. Look, now we're having, I hear
Thank you for calling Colin Studios host and call screener line.
Hold on, I got
Please
this.
Enter your show or meeting number and press pound.
Let's see if this works, Bob.
All right, hold on, folks. Yes, it's our first episode back. You might not want to give that code out loud.
Oh, I thought
Enter
it was
your six-digit
8675309.
It's 8675309, yes. Well, I would ask you questions, but there is dialing buttons.
Welcome, host. You are now in the host room and can manage your callers from the call-in studio web interface.
Okay. Try calling in, John. We're going to see if this works now. All right. We'll figure it out next time.
Yes. Okay. So what does the paranormal mean to you?
Well, that's a great question. I've seen a lot since I've been a little kid. The farm that my mom grew up in Michigan, was always very haunted. So actually back in the 1950s when they had...
Oh my goodness, wait. Oh. I see three things just popped up here right now. So let's try to talk to one. Oh my goodness. Three phone calls just popped up. So we're going to see if we can figure this out. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I could hear you guys.
Oh, Bob.
Oh, my God. Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is John.
John, but can you hear me?
Yeah, I could hear everybody.
Oh, now. John, it is
awesome. I could hear you before. No, I could. Well, wait a minute. I could hear when I was talking to you a little while ago, I got a call from Kansas popped up on the phone.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's what happened. Oh,
and then
okay.
When I called back. Yeah, so I got a call. I called back and I couldn't get through. So I'm just testing. Welcome back, anyway. But I'm just calling. I really ain't got nothing to say other than I'm glad you guys are back on the air. And I'm just trying to see the you know getting back on the air thing because it is kind of a strange where it says you know you may watch the show on WJLB and when you hear the beep, your call will be taken or something like that. So. Somebody made something up where, yeah, it's a recording of some kind before I get on the air. But yeah, anyway, welcome back. Interesting guest and, I could hear you loud and clear.
Excellent. Thank you so much, John. We missed you. I missed you.
Yeah. Well, you know what, real quick. So my consecutive call is still going since you weren't here, right?
You are officially the number one caller on the show again, John. Your records.
Oh, you mean we got to start all over?
It's season two, baby. We got to start over.
Oh, okay. Season two. Okay. Okay. Well, you know what?
And I believe
that's a good one, yeah.
And I believe every phone call, every phone call costs Jed 35 cents per minute. So that's good, too. We're racking up the phone bills tonight.
All right. Well, hey, good to hear you back. And I'll be listening. And good luck with the rest of it. Good luck with the second season.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you.
All right.
All right. Next call.
All right, Bob.
All right, John. Let me see. I dropped the call. And let me see if I can take somebody else here, just somebody else in the queue. Talk. Let's see if this works now, too.
Caller on the air.
Is this caller on the air?
Bob, where did you dig this producer up at?
Oh, Chuck, I fixed it, Chuck.
I was calling. I started hearing dial tones on the air. I was getting worried. Waiting for who you were calling.
But, Chuck.
That you're going to call a 1-900 number live on the air or something.
You have to give me credit for fixing this.
On only your third or fourth try.
Well, we got it working, Chuck. It's tough to be in the swing of things once again.
He was messaging me. He said, what do I do? Tony, follow the directions that we wrote on a piece of paper right in front of you.
I invited Chuck to be here tonight, by the way, and he didn't show up.
Chuck's here for season two.
I was waiting for the actual host to invite me.
What are you talking? Oh, my gosh. You're on the horn,
I'm
though.
I'm going to crash the show.
We got to have Chuck back on here.
We got to have Chuck back on, yeah.
Chuck was on our season finale, actually. He was on the
We need to talk about presidents and aliens.
Yes. How about we plan that for next week? Are you able to come on the show?
Whenever you're ready.
Yep. Okay. So next week we'll have you on the show.
Yeah, you got it. We'll come in and we'll get started on the phones early. I'll teach Tony how it works.
There we go, Chuck.
We'll do a
Thank
show.
You.
I'm on the radio. Hi. Hey, Tony, Amy would like to say hi.
Amy, don't
I'm
cuss.
I'm on the radio with Tony and Bob.
Amy, don't cuss.
Yeah, don't cuss. He's from Philadelphia. They always cuss on the radio.
Okay, she's got a potty mouth.
We're on the radio. So have a good night.
It's past Chuck's
okay,
bedtime.
So yeah, we'll do it next weekend.
All right.
It's past my bedtime.
All right, Chuck. Be here next week.
Bye. See you next week, Chuck.
All right, so let me drop Chuck.
This is the most callers.
Now let me try talking to this person here.
Hold Casey, on. Thank you for being patient with
hey,
us.
Hey, no problem.
We're trying to figure this out here. Caller, can you hear us? Hello, caller. Hello, caller. All right, we'll drop them. Call back, caller, if you would like to. So I believe we're good with that. So I dropped that call, and we're good. So, all right, continue on there.
There's another one that popped up.
Where? No, that's call back. I can call them back.
Oh, okay. My apologies. I'm looking at your screen trying to help you here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, time out. Let's talk to this person right here. Let's see if this works here. I'm going to hit talk. Okay, now there's two calls, so let me try to figure this out. Hey, caller, you're on the air. Hello, caller. Hello, caller. Okay, let me drop that one. And then let me hit this one, I hit talk. I miss the old phone lines, by the way. Let's see if this caller is there. Caller, you're on the air. Hello, caller. Hello, caller.
Oh, thank you.
All right, let me drop that. Bob, take it away.
Okay. Casey, thank you for being here tonight. So tell us about your mom's farm. That's where we left off at.
So, I mean, as a kid, actually when my mom was a kid, they decided they were going to build on the property across the street. Well, they actually did exhume two bodies, and then they ended up taking them up to the cemetery. But for some reason, that basement, there was always something happening in that basement at the house that she grew up in. When I was a kid, like, we'd go past, like, the root cellar, and it was just, there was something terrifying in there. There was a time I was down in the rec room, and we were just standing there talking, and probably about 15 feet away from us, there was hangers on this rack, and they just start moving. And I go, what is that? The door slams, the hanger stopped. It was a little freaky, but... Then we also had a place up on Hamlin Lake, up in Michigan. It was my great grandparents had retired up there. And now that place was a different story. It was, you could always hear children running around upstairs. And I mean, you were deep back in the woods. There was some sightings of the dog man up there as well.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah. It was like stalking us in the woods, and it was huge.
Yeah, can we, let's do that real quick. You can't just do a dog man take and then leave it. It's one of our favorite cryptids on the show. And you are just, so you have a dog man encounter.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. So tell us about that.
So, you know, we're back and we're up in Manistee National Forest and we're just kind of walking the trails, you know, and back in the woods. And all of a sudden it was like, what is that? And you just see these glowing eyes and they were pretty far out back in the woods. We're like, what is that? Of course, you're using flashlights looking. I mean, that thing within a split second, I mean, it was 5 feet away from you. And we're like, okay, we're out. So most of the sightings or the DJ up there in Ludington, like the CD, the song, everything that's come out with that, it's, you know, all up in that general vicinity.
Just wanted to test this out. Caller, are you there? Hey, caller. Okay, I got to do that code again. I didn't think I would have to do the code every time I hung up.
I don't think
call.
You have to do the code every time you call there.
Well,
code.
It seems like it. It worked last time, so let me drop the call. That's weird. I'd never see him doing this.
Kyle Panic has written out instructions.
Yeah. Doesn't work. Let me just drop it. People, I'm going to get back to you in a second.
He's got three pages of written instructions.
Yeah.
That's why we showed up an hour early for the show.
Casey, in the old days, we just had to press one button and we were on the phone lines. Now we got to do all this stuff now, too.
Anything Casey has to say is more important than...
Yeah, Casey, continue on.
So, yes,
thank you for calling Colin Studios host and call screener line. Please enter your show or meeting number and press pound.
You know, Chuck is listening right now, rolling over in the proverbial grave because he wrote all
enter
these
your
notes down.
Digit PIN number.
Not that Chuck's in the. Not that yeah. Chuck's not the, the proverbial grave because he just called. Well.
Welcome, host. Okay. You are now in the host room and can manage your callers from the Colin Studio web interface.
Okay, that's good to know. So let's try to take this call, because they're waiting in the line here.
All hello. Right.
Yep, hey, see, it works every time. I guess every time I just have to do that, because then we get a caller. Caller, can you hear us?
Yes, I have a solution to your phone problems.
What's the solution? Throw them out?
Count Panic has spent too much time at Big Frank Sausage drinking spirits before he got on the show.
It might have been, that might be... Luke Miller calling, and I don't know who that is, but maybe it is the Big Frank.
I think the preacher might be crossing the phone lines over there.
The preacher, trouble. The preacher might be crossing the phone lines.
He might be, and I wish he would like let these phone calls happen.
Art. I mean, how do we explain this?
Well, here's the thing I got for season two, the finale. Caller John versus caller Bill Drapek in a steel cage match to figure out who the best caller is.
Bill has been, maybe Bill's trying to call it and we don't know it, but Art, I appreciate it. We're trying to figure this out here.
Hey, Count Panic, I left a message for you on Messenger. Check it out when you get a chance. It's about a Roxana cryptid.
Oh, a Roxana cryptid. I'm going to check that out, Art.
Art, how have you been, by the way? Things
you
have been
maybe
good?
Use that for... Oh, very good. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I saw Count Panic at Big Frank's a couple weeks ago, and I was like, man, I miss Bob After Dark. And he said, well, we'll be coming back soon. So it's very cool that you guys are back.
Yeah.
Thanks for – we're happy to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you guys have a good night.
You too, Art. Take care.
219-845-1100. Make Count Panic work.
So I'm working too much tonight.
So we can learn these phone
Let's
lines.
Try this one. Let's try this one, too. Let's see. While we're on a roll here. We're going to try this one. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller.
Casey, you built on my land. You built on my land. I am the old owner. I am the dead man you found in the yard.
Oh. Is that true, Casey?
No, not really.
Oh, okay. You spooked her for a second.
Oh, my goodness.
I think we know who this is, right?
The look on Bob's face is priceless.
Who is this?
I think we know who it is.
It's the guy who was dead on her land.
You're spooking Bob now.
No, this is Bill from Griffith.
There we go.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing good. How about you?
Great. I was just flipping around, and I saw
saw you guys on, so I thought I'd call in real quick.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to help you out with the lines, and I kept getting hung up on. And
about, wow. Oh, man.
I know the customer service went down the drain after COVID, but man, this is ridiculous.
This is my first time ever using these new phone lines. So you gotta, and you know, the thing is, I think it costs Jed again $35 per minute. So we're
dollars.
$35 per minute. That's what we're. So let's rack it up tonight.
Okay. No, I was thinking $35 total. I was like, man.
I told Chuck get the old phone lines back in here.
Stop getting your equipment off of Timu.
Yeah, well, there might be some team new equipment here.
So what's on your mind tonight, caller?
Not much. Just good to see you guys on. Good to see her on there with you guys.
Excellent.
And, you know, yeah, good to see you in the old studio. Have you experienced anything going back to the old studio yet?
Yeah, Count Panic not knowing how to answer the phones. It's been the whole phone lines have been pretty haunted.
But you know, they're hopping though.
They're hopping for a change, which is great.
Yeah.
But I'm, it's so far so good. I kind of poked my head around to see if anything spooky would happen while kind of running around here. So nothing yet, but next week I think I'll bring my SLS in here and see if I could pick up on something spooky, but nothing yet.
There you go. Hey, yeah. I wanted to give a big shout out to your special host tonight. She was a huge part. Matter of fact, she was the main part why my father, Bill Harding from Griffith, from Civil Defense, aww, was nominated and given one of the blankets for the veterans this past November.
Wow,
yep. That's sweet.
Yeah, nice. That's it.
Yep. I was on Best with his dad.
Sweetheart in the world. I'm telling you what, I cannot thank you enough.
Oh, thank you. Hey, man, your dad deserved it. He's an amazing man. Like, and when it was like, hey, we can do some nominations, I'm like, I know exactly who's getting it. So. Oh,
gosh, yeah. Thank you so much.
And
yeah,
it was so beautiful to see everything.
He's like a rock star, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he is a rock star. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Everybody in Griffith knows him, and big heart lady. And I could never thank you enough.
Thank you. Well, I can't thank him enough. You know what I'm saying? And he's got an amazing family.
Oh. Hey, it's a feel-good moment on Bob After Dark. Yeah.
Usually we're talking about ghosts and stuff. This is a heartwarming moment. It's that one. The one segment in Unsolved Mysteries where it's like the misconnection thing where they would show like the long lost twin they finally found, and it's like connected thanks to Unsolved Mysteries.
There
look at
go.
This. Yeah. That worked out great.
The update. Oh, thank you.
So are we bringing in any equipment next week for the next show?
Well, you know what? I think we're in the next room for next week, so we'll see how that works. Hopefully the phone lines are smoother than tonight, but we'll see.
Well, hopefully the co-host isn't drunk. I mean,
hey, come on.
Lit. I mean, dang it. He remembers to put in the code.
I put on the code there, yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. I promise we'll figure this out.
All right. You guys have a great show. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Now, let me try. Now, we got one more here. Let's see. That was heartwarming, by the way.
Aww. That's a good call.
Let's see if this one works. Or do I have to put in the code again?
Here? Oh.
Hold on. I think I hear them. Hello.
Var, that's me. Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to say hi. I know the guest. She probably knows exactly who this is.
Yeah, I do. This is Paige.
Oh, hi, Paige.
I guess, hi. And I just wanted to ask a question of what was the scariest one that you've been to?
What?
So people can know that one.
What, the scariest haunted location?
Is that?
Oh, there's a few of them. You know, Monroe House always scares the living bejesus out of me. We saw the shadow man walking around. I actually was there a couple weeks ago, and I finally was brave enough. I mean, I've slept there twice, but I was finally brave enough to kind of wander the house by myself before everybody kind of got there. There was only three of us in there. And, of course, then I saw the shadow man again, and we were doing some investigations, investigating upstairs, and yeah, it did not want me there. But of course, I slept there that evening. you know, good times.
Good times.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I know. You know, Randolph, I've had things, you know, rush at me at Randolph County Asylum in the basement. I know you like to sit down there by yourself. I don't.
I do. I did it once for over an hour.
Yeah,
and
you
did. I did not know it was an hour. Yeah. And then I lost my glasses, and then I got scared.
It's like a series of unfortunate events.
It really is.
There we go.
So,
but yeah, I just wanted to say hi. And support my mom.
Aww. Aww, yes. You're such a good daughter.
Okay, I'll go now.
Thanks for calling in.
It's past your bedtime, Paige. By the way, right?
Yeah, I know, because she's 24.
At 24, you should be in bed by 9 o'clock. Bye.
I wish I was in bed by 9 o'clock. All right.
By the way, to bring up what Art was talking about before, let me put the camera on me again here. He sends a picture of a cryptid. You could see it right there if you're watching on the YouTubes there. But it's Glomper the Dumpling. Glomper the Dumpling. No one in Roxana neighborhood of Calumet River will admit to believing in him, at least not in the daylight. But back when the fog rose lower over the water of the refinery lights flicker against the current, folks locked their doors a little tighter. It started with footprints. Oh, it's a whole thing here, so we got to continue this. It started with the footprints. Some say he's a restless spirit of an old world cook who drowned in the river generations ago, doomed to hunger forever. Others say he's just a very large raccoon with excellent taste. But if you're walking along the river late at night in Roxana and you smell onions sizzling in butter and you hear something waddle behind you, don't run. Glomper hates when his food gets cold. And if you leave the plate of pierogi by the water's edge, well, Big Frank's hasn't been broken in 3 weeks. So that's the story of Glomper, the dumpling. You can feel free to replace dumpling with pierogi or pierog. So did you ever hear about that one, Bob?
No, that's news to me.
Yeah.
John, you're listening in. John's a longtime resident of the Roxana. I'm curious if
he's
aware
seen
of
it.
That story. Yeah.
Well, I know Art has seen it before. So
Art, thank you for sharing that story with us. It's pretty interesting.
Pretty cool. There we go.
Where did that button come from?
That's just a button there, Bob. So I think we're good to go here.
Okay, excellent. So so you have this dogman experience, and that absolutely you see the glowing eyes.
The glowing eyes. I mean, that thing was huge. It seemed like it was at least 11 foot tall. And it did. It rushed, and it felt like it was stalking you. And we pretty much got all the way back to the cottage and we're like, nope, we're good. So my Uncle Jerry is, he's an Ottawa chief up there. So he's technically not my uncle, but the families have known each other their entire lives.
Sure.
So it's one of those things. So we always would call him if we would have some kind of a issue with paranormal or anything. And he would say, you know, when you're up in those woods, just, you know, when you start mentioning it, that's when it kind of brings it to life for the most part. So, yeah, if you start talking about it, a lot of times it will start to find you.
You are one of the few people I think I've ever interviewed from a dogman experience that have, like, come close out in the wild and walked away without needing a firearm.
Terror is a good word.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so fast. I mean, it was just like, I mean, in a split second, I mean, it was so far and it was just right. It's like, whoa. And I mean, that thing is huge. So, I mean, it could have been some other kind of wildlife, but I really doubt it.
Oh, you said it's Michigan. What part of Michigan did you say?
So it's in the Manistee National Forest. So it's up by Ludington, Michigan.
Okay, so on the glove, it is
about right
by the thumb.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that is Dogman territory, so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's like maybe an hour and a half away from like Baldwin or whatever it is,
sure.
Like where a lot of the big sightings are.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Okay, so see a cryptid at a young age, and was that your first paranormal experience or no?
My first one was actually at the cottage. When we were kids, my sister actually ran into my great-grandmother and her friends upstairs who had passed away about 10 years before. There was a necklace being passed around. We had no clue. Come to find out, my aunt had left her necklace upstairs, which was my great-grandmother's ring. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen a lot up there. Shadow figures, you see. The man with the hat, we've actually walked through him a couple times. So we called Uncle Jerry, and we're like, hey, what do we do in this situation? And he goes, all right, just get this, this, and this. It's everything you can find around the property. Do a little prayer. So a lot of it settled down a little bit.
That's impressive. Hey, I think we got somebody, Bob.
We have another caller.
Caller, can you hear us or no? Hello, caller.
Did you click the button?
I did click the button, Bob.
Because I didn't hear the caller. Beeping.
Hello, caller. Hello. Hello? Let me drop that one. Let me see if I can talk to this one. If not, I'll press the code in again because that works.
This
every time.
This is the busiest phone call night we had.
Well, you know, we gotta take off 3 months more often, Bob.
All right, guys.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yes, the busiest night we've had in a while on the phone lines, and Cal panics.
Hey, caller. I'm gonna do the code thing again, folks. I'm gonna drop this call and do the code thing again. So, Bob,
folks,
don't
while
be
you're listening, just be understanding that this is our first time back.
Yeah.
And this is a brand new system that Kyle Panic is learning literally right now
as we speak.
So bear as we jest with him, I am giving him
thank you for
ample
calling
Colin
Studios host
with
and call screener.
This is also not
please
the usual
Bob
After Dark experience that you guys love and know from the show.
Bob, the podcast will be great, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, thank you for giving me
enter
Mountain
your
6-digit
PIN number.
I'm going to have so much fun editing this episode. I'm leaving this bit in, by the way.
Yeah, you gotta.
So then I might not edit this episode at all. People might just listen to
You are now in the host room and can manage your callers from the call-in studio web interface.
Okay, let's try this. Well, let's try to take this one.
Caller, you're on the air.
Let's see. Caller.
Hi, I'd like to place an order for takeout. Hey, you know what? Casey just said something and it just rang a bell with me, and I want to ask you guys something. Hey, when you said that you saw the guy with the hat, are you talking about an actual person or a spirit?
It was a shadow man. I watched him walk from the driveway straight through the laundry room into the house, but he was actually in an upstairs bedroom as well. My husband walked through him. I've seen him countless numbers of times.
The reason I ask and the reason that I'm calling back, I feel like Mad Mac right now calling 50 times a day during a show. But anyway, I'm calling in my mulligan. No, in all seriousness, you said the man in the hat. Now, my wife and I, about maybe 10 years ago, we were down in Alabama visiting her folks. And she has some friends down there that are into ghost hunting also. And so we just kind of like, you know, we just kind of went out riding around and everything. And they're like, oh, yeah, this one here is known for cemeteries. I'm talking about cemeteries. This one here is known for this. This one here is known for that. So the friend's husband and I got out of the car. And I'm starting to stutter here because it's like everything's starting to flood back. So anyway, hold on 2 seconds. Hold on. And I stood out in the cemetery, and I wanted to see if I could feel anything, okay? For some reason, I had, like, it was a flash, okay? It was like all of a sudden somebody was standing in front of me with a hat on, and it was just a flash. And nobody believed me in this, okay, with this. And then all of a sudden, it was like my entire body was just drained of mm-hmm. energy.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that?
Yep.
That's as common as common gets. And you know,
yeah. It's my husband actually walked straight through it, and it was like a wall. I mean, he's 6'6", 200 and something pounds. I mean, Mr. Tough Guy, he came running downstairs. He's like, I don't know what that was, but it was like, I just walked through something. He goes, and I looked, and it was like a man with a hat on just standing right there. Yeah.
And so. It was just like, it was just kind of like a flash, and then your energy is absolutely drained, but you know you saw somebody standing in front of you, and it was very vivid.
Yeah.
when you saw this person or thing or entity or whatever it was. So I'm glad I'm not, and all joking aside, I know that I've been cracking jokes and everything, but I'm glad I'm not crazy about this, because when I told my wife and I told her friend and her husband and everything, when I got back to the car and I was feeling this way, they're looking at me like, okay, you know, drama Donna, you're pulling our leg here. And I'm like, no, this is real. I actually felt this and I saw this and I'm still feeling this. And I've never had that actually confirmed until now.
Yeah.
Which was, thank you. Thank you for confirming that for me.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And I mean, there's just certain things, and I know even with our group, we'll try to explain things away. Like, we'll go back, we'll try to recreate things, close doors, you walk past here, just to see if we can recreate it, debunk everything. So we're all pretty much skeptical believers, in a sense, you know. So, but yeah, some things you just
can't explain.
Yeah.
You can't explain it. Yeah.
That's so true. That's so true.
Well, I can't explain the phone lines right now. So that's myself.
You're doing a great
Thank
job.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're doing
you.
A great job.
Yeah. Just blame it on Preacher and you'll be good.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much for calling back in.
These darn kids. They're messing around in my place.
Meddling kids.
Can't get any peace around this place.
Yeah. Appreciate you.
If it weren't for these meddling,
yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks.
Take care. All right. So let me do that. Hey, by the way, we have a YouTube up and running too. Just WJOB 1230 on YouTube. I see Art's in there. Paige, of course, just called in. We have Heather in there. We got the Faded 01. Happy to see Bob back in the studio. Appreciate that. Gloomy Soreg is in there as well. Plumber Guy has high praise. Your guest needs to be a permanent seat at the table. She is great.
Thank you.
High praise from Plumber Guy. Let me see if I can take these calls here, too, as well. So let's try it right now.
Casey, I need to have you back on or take another break. Our next episode, folks, will be back in May, apparently.
Yeah.
So.
we're hooked with phone calls here. Hey, caller, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, hey, it's
a mulligan from John, too.
John gets a mulligan tonight.
Well, that last caller, he didn't sound like Mad Max, but he sounded like Dave from Crown Point.
No,
but
that wasn't Dave. That wasn't Dave. I would know Dave.
No, he said he wasn't.
Yeah.
But that was a very interesting story. Yeah. What did Art say? He smelled pierogies and green onions.
Yeah, there's a cryptid in Roxana there, John, if you're paying any score here from Art. It's called the Glomper the Dumpling, or Glomper the Pierogi, if you want to call it. But he lingers around the little Cal River right there.
You know what? I'm going to have to start hanging around with Art at Big Frank's. And I think he's probably lingering around when he comes out of the place, you know, because
I'm in the wrong having the wrong fun.
I never seen a dumpling walking around.
It's a giant dumpling. It's like a giant dumpling. Here, I could pull up the picture again for the people on YouTube if they want to see it. Let's see here. Yeah, it's Glomper the Pierogi or Glomper the Dumpling, whatever you want to call it. But it's a terrifying-looking species right here. Let me get that there. There we go. Perfect. See it right there if you're watching on YouTube. That's Glomper the Dumpling right there. So a very, like a pierogi, like a lizard, basically, a dragon so much.
I'm going to go looking for it tomorrow. I'm going to keep my eyes out on it, but... you know, I'm not up to this technology stuff. So when you're saying you're on YouTube, I could see you on WJOB Live.
That's...
So I'm not going on YouTube.
Okay.
I'm still going on WJOB.
We might be on there, too.
So...
but we're also on YouTube. If you go to YouTube.
Yeah, well, that's how I'm not watching up. But I have been watching on WJOB.
There you go.
Website. So it is still on there.
And what is that?
I'm not on no YouTube.
And Lobot1980, who's watching on YouTube as well, saying it looks cuddly. The dumpling, the giant dumpling dragon. So it might be cuddly, but I wouldn't approach it.
Well, maybe it's by the Knights of Columbus there. I'm going to take a look.
It might be.
I will let you guys
also,
know.
Also, by the way, John, South Shore Steph is here as well, so say hi.
Hey, South Shore Steph, my favorite gal.
His favorite gal, he says. Next to my mom, maybe. Come on here, Stephanie. Come on. There we go. There she is.
She's in the studio?
She's in the studio right now. She's our technical producer.
What?
Trying to figure it out. She's
and
here.
I'm over here and she's over there?
Yeah, well, come on down. There's a party
Why
going
just
on.
Invite everybody? Why not? Come on in.
There we go.
Casey's never going to want to come back.
Steph, how are you?
She says she's good.
Nice to know that she's there.
She's
and
here.
I'll let you go and let your guests continue talking. All right,
John, take care.
You guys have a good evening.
Thanks, John.
All right. Let's try to take this one. Maybe we'll be 3 for 3 here without redialing anything. Hey, caller, can you hear us?
How you doing?
There we go.
Doing good. Hello, caller. Hello. You're on the air.
We can hear them.
Yes, it's Art again.
Oh, hi, Art. Everybody gets mulligans tonight.
Art, that I just read your thing. That was terrifying.
There you go. I had a question about the men with hats. Everybody knows that it was fairly common for gentlemen from like the early 1900s to even like the 1970s to always wear hats. You know, like I remember my dad wore one. Could it be possible that the shadow figures with hats are entities from, you know, that past time just traversing in our modern era now?
I mean, that's always a possibility, you know. Yeah. I mean, I still like to wear hats all the time. You know, I mean, and, you know, and it could be, I know there's a lot of instances of, you know, people seeing this same man over and over, whether they're sleeping, whether it's, you know, they're out and about somewhere, ghost hunting. But I mean, as a child back in the early 80s, I mean, we didn't have the internet. I mean, people didn't really hear about a lot of things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
And then there's theories of, is it multiple hat men, is it, or is it just one singular entity that people are seeing? Because it's a common occurrence during sleep paralysis to see the hat man. But there are cases like here with Casey where people see him out in the wild. So is there multiple hat men, or is it one hat man?
Yeah.
You know, it's a good question, and you bring up a good point. If it's, you know, if you're dealing with a residual haunting, in this case, yours walked right through the house and into the laundry room, and maybe there was a bus stop there, and there was a gentleman with a cap walking by, and that was the thing. I don't know. I'm just making conversation, but it's a good question, Art. I appreciate you calling back.
All right, yeah, I just wanted to tell Count Panic, it's not Glomky, it's Glomky. The L has a slash through the middle.
You're right.
Pronounced W.
What do you say? Well, some people still say Halupki.
Well, that's more like a Slovakian more, but the Polish say Glomky.
Yeah.
Glomky, come on. So
can you roll your R's, Art, with the pierogi?
Of course I could. Pierogi.
Oh, that was good. Can you do that, Casey?
Yeah.
What, with the R?
Yeah, with the R.
What, the pierogi?
Oh, that was, man, Bob.
Nope.
Go ahead, you try
pierogi.
It. Okay, he's not going to try it.
No, that's, everybody gets one.
I took 6 years of Polish language classes in St. Casimir in Hammond when I was a youngin', so I learned all that back then.
There you go.
My mother-in-law is Polish, and her mother would get mad and start yelling at everybody in Polish all the time when...
Then you got to learn all the good words.
We got to learn all the fun words and what you don't say on Sundays, because the boys would always get yelled at for it.
Okay, I still want to see John versus Bill Drapek in Big Frank's parking lot in a steel cage match. Make it happen.
We'll make it happen.
Make it happen, Club Cuyahoga parking lot.
Yeah. Well, maybe that. It's a bigger parking lot over there, so maybe. We'll see. All right,
thanks, Art, for calling. I appreciate that.
Yeah, there we go.
Did you clear the queue?
I cleared the queue.
Excellent. We'll folks, thank you so much for bearing with us on this. 219-845-1100. Mm. All right. So from Hatman to where you're at now, what started you in 2012 wanting to be a, like, were you ghost hunting with equipment? Or were you just going out with a flashlight? What was that like?
So actually, it was funny because Pete and one of the teachers at the high school, that's right when they were going to be starting the paranormal club. So they had put in for it and they were like, hey, we're getting this equipment and da 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 da. And I mean, at the time, it was what, like a couple EMF meters, like some dowsing rods, like there was barely anything, you know, maybe a couple recorders. And he actually he had like a camera. And we decided we were going to go down Reeder Road to try to test this equipment.
Everybody. Yep. That's everybody's first investigation that lives in
yes,
the region.
Which, hey, speak of the man with the hat. We actually have a picture of it from that first time we actually went ghost hunting down Reeder Road. So it was almost like something didn't want the three of us going down there. So we had the okay to go there and walk down, and now there's a bike trail for the most part. So at the time, I mean, there was no bike trail going through there. And as we're walking down, it just got spookier and spookier. It was like we were walking through spider webs everywhere.
Gloomy Soray says, I see him a lot at really low points in my life. I've always wondered if mine was a manifestation of more negative energy. What do you think on that?
What, with the man with the hat?
With the, I assume that's what he's referring to here, yes.
I mean, it's possible. I know with us, we had put some cremains on the property over the years of people that have passed away or somebody saying, hey, you know, we know you guys have a beautiful place, da-da-da-da-da. Actually, there's a really cool story that goes with that. You know, can you, you know, sprinkle these ashes somewhere, either on the lake or somewhere beautiful in the woods? So my dad and his friend actually, they had done this at one point, and I was not there. My mom was there at the time. So there was windows that had gone all the way around the cottage. She thought it was one of my great-grandparents' friends. She's like, oh, hey, Bob, you know, your grandparents' friends are here. She saw this little old couple walking down the stairs. And she turned her head, said it, and turned back, and they were gone. And he goes, yeah. He goes, it was a couple. They had both passed away. They didn't have any family. They had asked so-and-so to sprinkle their remains somewhere, you know, together, nice. One had passed away before the other one. And he goes, we did that this morning.
Aww.
And they see this little old couple just walking down the stairs, and they had just disappeared.
That's amazing.
So, I don't know. It was just like, I always loved that story when my mom told it.
And also, too, like, bring up the topic of old-fashioned clothing and ghosts and whatnot. We don't see the modern-day clothing ghosts, right? There's no, like, ghosts with baseball caps or anything like that.
Give it about 30 years when I'm investigating. And
we're still seeing, like, the old-timey ghosts now.
Yes. I'm going to come back as a millennial ghost.
But I do want to give a praise to Peak Rice and you yourself, Casey, Northwest Indiana Paranormal. I mean, Bob, they do a great job giving tours. You know, you accept people on board to give tours throughout local haunts like Crown Point Jail Cell and Reeder Road and whatnot. But you guys also travel kind of America here, right? Yourselves, Midwest.
We're trying.
Yeah. But you guys go out pretty far.
Yes, yeah. You guys are one of the most well-traveled investigative groups I'm aware
of.
I say this to you guys. I'm a member of the group, and I'm you guys. I'm a member. Us.
I know.
I got the shirt, too. So
I was
going to
say, we both got shirts.
Hey, I got you lost at the old Lake County Jail.
Yes.
I'm like, no, it's this way. And I'm like, where are we at?
But Northwest Indiana Paranormal is one of the most well-traveled groups. So, tell us a little bit about some of the travels you've done outside the region. Because people think that a misconception in paranormal groups is paranormal groups don't leave their little section of area. That's not the case. People go all over the place. They just kind of congregate and they live in the one section.
Yeah.
But you guys, us, the team goes all over.
Yeah. We've actually been going to Ohio the last couple of years a lot. So we just did like Madison Seminary. I know this year we're going to be doing the Licking County Jail. We did get a tour of it earlier this year, and that place is terrifying looking. I'm like, the upstairs, the jail cells themselves, I'm like, ooh. I'm like, all right, I'm ready for this. The scarier, the better.
You guys sleep in some weird situation. I see.
Oh,
the,
yeah, all the time.
That's. Do you actually sleep or no? You stay up pretty
sometimes.
Much.
Sometimes.
Probably tough to sleep in that.
So I know, like a lot of times, so like General Stone Mansion was probably one of our first ones that we did. That was in Winchester, Indiana. So there was three of us that decided, hey, we're gonna stay here tonight. So we each picked a floor, and
you split up like Scooby-Doo.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Let's split up, King.
So I know somebody had taken the upstairs room, and I'm like, nope, we watched some, you know, one of the ladies get actually, like, choked in that room. Like, finger marks just started appearing on her neck. And the SLS camera, you could see the figure, like, going at her. And I'm like, I'm not sleeping in that room. I'd like, maybe an hour or two asleep because we were doing it a second night. Pete had picked the middle floor in General Stone's room, and I'm like, well, I've already spent like 3 hours in here by myself. I'm good. It's very dusty. I'm like, I'm going to pick the room with the heat because it was pretty chilly out. So I decided I was going to take that main floor by the piano. I thought the other two were messing with me all night, like running up and down the stairs, walking around in the other room, and probably about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, I hear a man and a woman talking in the room right next to me, like right through the door. And I'm like, okay, I'm the only female in this house. There's no way.
That's insane.
So, yeah. But, yeah, I've stayed at Randolph. I've stayed, you know,
Monroe
House.
Well, they say, too, at the jail cell especially, the spirits kind of go for the more female persuasion than the men. So you might get more reaction out of the spirits.
That's true.
Than say Bob or I went in there trying to.
Listen to me first. Thank you very much.
On.
You are the stud muffin of the,
well,
the women's unit compound.
I was. The women like me in the women's
the,
unit. There.
The women's unit loves you.
We have a text question coming in. Doesn't Pete have a paranormal group at Griffith High School?
Yes.
Are you involved with that, Casey?
Yep. Yes. I'm actually the co-sponsor of the group. So, I drive the bus. He drives the bus. And we'll take a bunch of, you know, kids yelling, you know, skibbity riz and 6-7.
6-7, 6-7.
6-7.
That's new since the last time we've been on the show. That is the first time you will hear that phrase on Bob After Dark. And that'll be the last time you have the mention of those two numbers.
Bob's trying to get the youth audience nowadays.
Yeah,
so he's got skibbity and 6-7.
That is the last time you will mention those two numbers back to back on the show.
Okay.
Ever.
I will stop.
Unless we do it, we have another episode 67, but we're not at that point.
I think that's really cool, though, because Bob, when we were in high school, we didn't have these groups.
No.
Don Bernacki and Crown Point, Pete and you and Griffith. You're kind of getting the kids, and I know Purdue Northwest has a paranormal group now.
Yeah, we actually helped Purdue get their group started. You know, and then we've actually had a lot of people that have kind of started their little, like, subgroups, like, off of us. And we do a lot of collaboration. So, like, we have, like, Ghouls Night Out, and then that the Nightfall Institute, they're kind of both out of, like, Lafayette area, Spectral Recon, so... he started kind of going places with us, and then they were like, hey, you want to go to Waverly? We're like, yes. You know, because they had already booked it back in January, and we're like, of course we will. So we're actually going to be going with them again this summer sometime down to
Very
Waverly.
Fun.
So they already booked the 2 days that they're going to be staying there. So, and that place is amazing.
Never been. What's your favorite paranormal place that you've been in your career?
Oh, my God. I know. There's so many. I would probably say my favorite place this past year was probably the Rotary Jail in Crawfordsville.
Any particular reason why?
Yes. Okay. There is the whole John Coffey story.
Okay.
So some people think that maybe they got the idea of the Green Mile maybe from that, because there was an inmate back in the late 1800s. His name was John Coffey. And it, as time kind of progressed, I think they figured out, you know, he was special needs somehow. He was terrified of the dark, but everybody loved him. He was accused of a murder, which come to find out years later, somebody else actually admitted to it. They tried hanging him 3 times, and the third time it did, you know, finally work. But they have a beautiful museum and jail. We slept there. I slept on the second floor. So. Yeah. Well, we each just pick a floor and stay there.
And, by the way, Heather says her nephews are obsessed with 6767.
No, but, can we
I know,
stop it?
That's the last time we'll do it. Well, hold on. Let's do it together, Casey.
Okay, you ready? You ready?
Well, I'm
ready.
Not doing
6767. There we go.
I will not that's be participating that. In that, folks.
But have you ever been in a place that kind of spooked you so much? You're like, I got to get out of here. I don't want to be here. Like, it was just overwhelming for you. You had to leave.
Well, the first time we went to Monroe House, you know, that did happen to us where, you know, we had baby monitors set up. Now we have this, like, really nice camera system. So we have wireless cameras, and we do have a wired system as well. So we'll usually have somebody sitting at a TV kind of marking stuff down. But, yeah, at the time we just had baby monitors. Well, we decided we were going to take a break, and we're sitting in the living room where all these baby monitors are set up, and all of a sudden you hear this woman just scream through it, and it was like, help me. Ooh. It wasn't a whisper. It was a full
scream.
Not once, but twice. And we're all like, what? So, of course, we go run upstairs. I mean, there's nothing around, but I know Richard Estep, he wrote a book about Monroe House, and it's an amazing book. And it explains so much more of just the different energies in there and, you know, how they're just kind of trapped. And then it just keeps adding on and adding on layers and layers and layers of things. So, yeah. But
Bob's never been scared of any ghosts.
I've been scared of ghosts before.
Oh, okay. Who'd you call?
Someone else. Especially when it comes to the doll cases, you know that.
Yeah, the doll cases are crazy.
What, dolls?
Dolls. I don't like dolls.
Oh. Paige says, Casey, you're banned from doing that again, the 6-7.
Thank you. I'm right there with you. Yes. Right there with you. That number is banned.
Gloomy, sorry, no more 6-7. Yes.
Thank you, Gloomy. That there will be no more of that on this show ever again until the next meme happens.
It's banned.
It's banned.
I am banning it.
We might be off the air for another 6 months here. I don't know. It's been nice return.
This was season two is going to, first episode, last episode. We'll see you guys in season three.
Yeah, season three is 2 months.
Hey, go out with a bang.
So what is the most horrifying experience you've ever had as an investigator?
Oh, God. You know, I mean, and I try to push myself every time I go somewhere. So, you know, Old Lake County Jail, we had a student group go through. I mean, there's so many stories there because I've been there so many times. I'm actually going to be there this weekend. They're actually one of the paranormal investigators from Southern Indiana had a stroke. So they're actually doing a fundraiser for him. So his challenge is to sit alone, handcuffed and blindfolded in the jail or in any haunted location for as long as he can. So, you know, you get to pay money to go and do the challenge, but they're going to have a lot of raffles. They're raffling off a lot of haunted locations. Yeah, I mean, you can check out the Old Lake County Jail page and they have all the information on that too. But that's going to scare me because I've heard doppelgangers there. I've seen apparitions there. I've had things touch me there. We actually did a sweet 16 birthday party this year. So these girls, they wanted to go ghost hunting. So Pete and I were like, okay, cool. So we each took a group, and I mean, it just got crazy in there. But yeah, we were upstairs in the federal area, and we have walkie-talkies, and he's like, hey, I'm going to be coming up there in a few minutes. And one of the kids was like, well, I want to do the spirit box. I'm like, okay, give us a couple minutes. I heard him talking to us from the next hallway over. And I was like, what'd you say? I'm like, none of us could understand. It was just kind of gibberish. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you were talking to us. And he goes, no, we're on the first floor. So yeah, that was very like, okay, who's over here? So
it's very eerie, especially like we've done investigations too at the jail cell. And it's just, you know, Sandy does a great job.
Yeah. Sandy is one of the look when it comes to caregivers in the paranormal world.
She's great.
You are not going to find many people that are that dedicated to their building as you're going to find as her with the Crown Point.
If she wasn't there, I don't know
that jail wouldn't make it without Sandy.
Yeah,
and like, and it's these places, you know,
you need people like that.
You do.
Yeah, you do.
It's hard to keep a haunted location going. And you need to have the heart and the dedication. Yeah. And Sandy just knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
I praise her constantly. But go on. Go
on. I mean, even, you know, Dwight fought so hard, like, down in Benton County and Fowler to keep that jail. And, I mean, they did finally, unfortunately, demolish it. You know, I mean, he still has the theater. And the nice thing about that, going back to Haunted Dolls, it looks like they're going to start opening up their historical society for investigations. So that's where I had my first haunted doll experience.
You want to tell us that story?
Oh, that's a good one. So a few years back, he was like, hey, you guys want to investigate this place? And we're like, okay. So there was four of us in this big, huge house in their old historical society. So we're just walking around, and Dwight's just filming. We're just touring and just kind of, you know, talking amongst ourselves. And he's like, oh, yeah, that doll over there was made by, you know, a 9-year-old boy in 1911. He's like, it's so creepy. And then he starts talking about Chucky and this and that. Come go back to the video and you watch it. That doll actually lurches forward and sits right back up.
No.
There's no one.
No, I'm good. I'm checked out. I'm buying, folks. I'm gone. I'm already on my next investigation.
I should have brought Charlie with me.
The dummy?
Yeah.
The dummy doesn't bother me.
Charlie McCarthy. So his mouth is actually, now his string is broken, but it has actually moved on about four different investigations.
I don't, for whatever reason, the ventriloquist does not bother me. Dolls do. And I don't know there's no real difference between the two, but still, you get the idea.
There's that room in Randolph County Asylum that has about 9,000 dolls in it. I know Pete slept in that room when we were there.
Pete's brave. I'm good. Not me.
That's actually the room I would probably sleep in there, because the woman whose room that was the one that loved that place the most. So
I cut the line of dolls, folks.
Well, next time.
No.
It's lots of new friends.
Are you guys, if people want to like, are you accepting always like new members?
Yeah, we're always looking for people. You can just, you know, follow us on Northwest Indiana Paranormal on our Facebook page. We have an Instagram page. We post our investigations up on there. What's under, not the files, like the featured section. So there's a big list of, hey, these are the conventions that we're going to be at. These are investigations that are coming up. You know, this one's full. It's not full, if
a lot
you
of people just
go,
will stay local, and they could do that because it's the region and whatnot.
Yeah. Or, you know, if somebody's like, hey, you know, we like, there's a couple of us and we'd really like to go to this place. How do we do it? We'll help get you set up. You know, if you want us to kind of tag along with your group.
Casey, I'm still trying. I see Pete's brother Jimmy a lot, James Grice, at the some chamber luncheons. And I'm still trying to convince him to go on one of these investigations. I don't think he's up for it.
I don't think
he's much different than Pete.
Yeah.
Two different personalities. Yeah. But
as twins.
I was like, you should go to one of these investigations with your brother. Family bonding, I always say. Yeah. So. It hasn't worked out so far.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, like one of my friends, she lives in Arkansas, and she's like, I can't believe, you know, you go out and you do that. Like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know. People like bungee jumping or fast cars or motorcycles.
Yeah. This is safer. I mean,
I like
there's really
old abandoned buildings.
I mean, Bob, when's the last time somebody's been on a haunt? You know, nobody, bungee jumping, there's room for error in there.
Right.
Or skydiving or whatnot. This, you're with friends. You're in an environment where, you know, there might be some spookiness going on, but
asbestos. Breathing in asbestos in places, you know. I could say your name off all the dangers.
Bob's trying to scare people away.
I'm not scaring anybody away. I'm just saying,
walking through raw sewage.
Yes.
Raw sewage.
the mesothelioma is the big one. You know, you have the squatters you have to worry about.
Oh, those are fun.
So, yes, this is Count Panic over here telling us it's a walk in the park. So, now before we kind of wrap up the night, Casey, so we're, I have one question to you, and that is, I asked you earlier about what the paranormal meant to you, and we got to hear the Dogman story, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But what does the paranormal mean to you? If I had to make you come up with a definition for what the paranormal is, what is the definition?
You know, I just want to see if, you know, there is intelligent hauntings. If the, you know what I mean? If that energy is, I mean, obviously it's still always around when somebody passes, but, you know, if it's intelligent enough to communicate back and be like, hey, you know, over the last couple of years, I lost my mom to brain cancer. I lost my sister-in-law. I mean, I've lost a lot of people throughout my entire life, and I would love to talk to them again.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it's just that, that maybe that little bit of hope that maybe you'll get to, you know, talk to them once again before it's your time.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's nice. Yeah.
I like that.
Well, and that's the thing, too. A lot of people think of it as something like spooky, but it could be comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that, why I liked Rotary Jail so much and the whole John Coffey thing. I mean, of course, I love the Green Mile, but, you know, my mom passed from brain cancer and, you know, like the movie The Green Mile, yeah, and he goes in and he saves her. And I'm like, you know, when she was sick, that's who I kept telling him. Yeah. I'm like, I'm looking for John Coffey, and I found him. So, yeah.
Bob, we got to get back on investigation with
him, too. Do it. You come with anytime you want.
Anytime you want.
Casey, you and Pete set it up. We're there.
All right. Where you want to go?
Oh, man. We've been to a lot of places, yeah. Bob.
Yes, I mean, I was just over a couple weekends ago I was at. By the way, I wanted to say hi to everybody that's new from Dead of Winter.
Okay.
Because we met a lot of new people through that. So hello, everybody from Dead of Winter.
Hello.
It's nice to be here. I promise you not every episode ends up with us spending 10 minutes trying to figure out how to answer.
Hopefully next week goes smoother. But you know, this is...
Hey, well, for what it's worth, you figured it out.
I figured it out. And you know, we're going to be in that pry room next week. So
then we'll have a whole new slew of
problems. Yeah, we'll have to figure it out then again.
You did a great job.
This was a soft launch, as they call it.
A soft launch. Yes. And I couldn't ask for a better guest for a soft launch. And I really appreciate you taking the time out to come out and talk about both the in high school and the, you know, the adult group.
Mm-hmm.
Have we left anything out? I mean, I see you got notes. Did we leave anything out? No. Plugs or anything?
I mean, no, just.
And very cool shirts, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, these are our high school ones that we have. We also have a new logo on our adult group ones. So okay.
I got the old logo long sleeve shirt.
I have an old logo long sleeve shirt myself.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, we're going to be, we'll be at what? Stark County Library at their Comic-Con Saturday, April 25th. Cool fun fact about that place. They actually rent out like EMF meters and certain paranormal equipment. So that's in what? I think Knox. The Chicago Paranormal Convention in June will be at Rock Island Roadhouse Esoteric Expo and the Pagan Pride Day.
Yes.
So,
I love that you go out to events. I mean, a lot of the groups, you know.
Yeah.
You're out there in the community. You got the booth.
Yeah. We're people.
You're giving pins out and stickers, promoting. So that's great to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Pete, his show is going to be premiering on Paraflix on Thursday.
Bob,
History Alive.
Pete's blown up since the last time we talked.
I know.
Yeah.
He's so popular.
He was too busy to come on the show tonight.
He's so popular.
Tell us more about this. So what is this show?
So it is on Paraflix. It's called History Alive.
History Alive.
So it's him and a group of other investigators. So some are from Kentucky, some are from, you know, up in north in Chicago. And they've been filming this over the past like 3 years. Mm-hmm. You know, the cool thing is like the Fowler Jail, I think in the theater are going to be like the first episode. Mm-hmm. DMZ Productions does it. But February 26th is the premiere of it. I'm very excited for him. So I'm actually in the old Lake County Jail episode. I get to play a male inmate in one of the recreation scenes.
Oh, that's fun.
I know my husband, my daughter, she texted me from school at the time and she was like, "Mom, I saw a picture of you. You look horrible." She's like, "I can see your mustache." And I'm like, "I have makeup on." And she's like, "Oh, that makes sense."
Jeez.
Children are kind.
Your daughter has been throwing you under the bus all night.
Your daughter is very active on a YouTube.
Yes, yeah, she is.
We're not on TikToks, but we're on the YouTubes.
You're on the YouTubes. I like that.
Okay, folks, real quick on Bob After Dark appearances, because I haven't stopped doing that since we've
been on the roads.
I've been on the road, still making towns, as they say. This Sunday, I'm going to be at the Extra Life Convention in Ravenswood, Chicago.
Nice.
You can come visit me from there. That is at, let me pull that up real quick.
Pull it up.
Why is Progy Fest tagging me in things?
Wait, what?
Progy Fest just tagged Bob After Dark in something.
How do you see that?
It's looking for the killer pierogi.
why is Pierogi Pest tagging you and things? I'm going to find this out right now.
Oh, that was me.
That was you.
Oh, thank you.
I thought I was on my workout.
Stephanie's still here.
What?
You might want to take that down. I don't know. Somebody's going to wake up tomorrow and be like, why is there a paranormal show on the Pierogi Pest page? But also, by the way, Bob and I are Polish. Happy Punchki Day to everybody out there. You got about, if you're on Central Time Zone, hour and 40 minutes or so to eat your Punchki. So.
By the way, so I'll be at the Extra Life Gaming Convention February 22nd. That's at Artifact Events in Ravenswood. That's Chicago. I'll be there from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. I have con-exclusive merch for that. I will be at the Huntington, is that the word? That's not the city. Huntsville, Illinois. I'll be at their Esoteric Festival April 19th. The CAPS, the Wisconsin Cryptids Anomalies. I have a lot of things coming up, folks. You can see my graphic. I'll make one up here soon so you can follow me on all of that. If you're watching on the YouTubes, follow Bob After Dark on all the social medias at Bob After Dark, or you can subscribe to me on YouTube at The Bob After Dark, Twitch Bob After Dark Blaze. Make sure you leave a review on Apple Podcasts so Kyle Panic could read your comment out loud.
Figure this out, yeah. I'm barely figuring out the phone lines. I'll figure out Apple.
No, I know how to do that. I just tell you what it says.
We'll figure it out.
Well, folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. Casey, thank you for coming
on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
One thing
this.
I make all of my guests do before we leave is I make them do a quip, a piece of advice, a joke, something to the audience. So it's... So it's the improv thing, so it's usually like don't play what matches or if
remember, Paige is listening still.
I declare shenanigans.
Excellent.
Whoa. Let's have some shenanigans.
Have shenanigans. I love it. Works out.
Ooh, we little shenanigans.
Now, Bob, I gotta tell you, I got on the air. I don't know if I know how to get off the air. So we might be going all night if we have
it. Don't joke with me, because Do we still broadcast coast to coast from here?
Bob, I don't know. We're going to figure this out. I got Stephanie here. We're going to figure it out together. Chuck's in bed. Amy yelled at him, so we're alone right now. So.
Think we're alone now.
Yeah. Copyright strike.
That is just a sentence, not a lyric.
And also, thank you for people that called in. Thank you for the YouTubers. I saw we had some packed YouTube crowd tonight. So, again, next week in the room across the hall, hopefully we get up and running once again, Bob. But you got to finish with your tagline still.
Yes. So, thank you for watching an episode of Bob After Dark. I've been your host of the most that enjoys toast, Bob. I just want to say thank all of you for watching and listening. And to my dad, I want to say wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. Mom, I want to say goodnight to you and to Tiff. No matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. We're back, baby. See you next week.
Memoriam Development.